Welcome to Life Church, where we believe in equipping people for an extraordinary life in Christ through the Word, Spirit, and relationships. We hope this podcast will enlighten and bless you.
All right, let's talk about grit. Let's get into this, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. This was one of my key verses growing up in high school. This was one of the desires of my heart throughout my heart and my life in ministry. And so I'm really excited to use it as a foundation scripture today. This is the Apostle Paul. He's teaching the next generation. He's teaching Timothy about leadership and ministry. Towards the end of Paul's life, and this is what he writes. He says, I have fought, verse 7, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future, there's laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, so this isn't just exclusive to Paul, but to all of those who have loved his appearing. I want to bring some clarity to that and some focus. Number one, you see that Paul is kind of giving Timothy some insight into something, and I think insight into our life, and that's this. There's going to be a fight in life. But he calls it a good one. That's a perspective thing, isn't it? There's some people that see fighting as so overwhelming, it's so tiresome, irksome. But Paul says, look, life's going to be a fight, so let's have the right mindset. It's a good fight. Why is it a good fight? Because we know if we keep fighting, we're going to win. Amen. Amen. And then he goes on to say that he completes his course. I think that's interesting, and that's where grit comes in. And that's where I hope this series is a blessing to you, because I want to, and I hope you want to as well, be a finisher. A finisher. There's too many Christians, there's too many people in this world, too many light versions of Christianity, whatever you want to call it, where people are great at starting, but they're not great at finishing. They're great at talking a big game and talking dreams and vision, but they're not finishers or completers of those dreams, of those visions. And Paul says, towards the end of his life, he says, I fought the good fight, I have finished my course. And he says, I kept the faith, which means he didn't compromise getting there to the finish line. I love that. How many of you today say you want to be a finisher? Anybody in the room? I want to be a finisher. All of us are on a race. That also tells us something in this verse, that each of us have a course to run. It's not just Paul. He's talking about anyone that loves the Lord, anyone that's going to run this race, anyone that's going to live for God. You all have a course. God has saved you by grace unto good works. There are good works for you to do. There's a plan for your life. There's a course. He saved you. He commandeered your life for a purpose, not just to go to heaven, but because he has need and design and vision for your life. How many of you believe that? And so there's a course, there's a race that you're running. And in order to be a finisher, you have to say no to the desire to quit. And Paul, I think even in saying that he's finished his course, he's drawing a distinction between a bunch of other people that started and didn't finish their courses. And too many times, we use or people use other people's lack of finishing for an excuse of us not finishing. And I want to help us today to make a determination in our hearts. That's where grit comes in. A determination in our heart that though none go with me, still I will follow. Amen. A determination in our heart that says, if 10,000 people quit, I'm going to finish my course. If no one else in my family line has finished their course, I'm going to be a new generation and start a new legacy. Are you understanding what I'm saying? I will not use other people's decision to quit as an excuse for me to quit. I have a race to win. I'm going to win. I'm going to run my race all the way to the end. Now, here's the thing. In this generation, in American society and culture, too many times we want the reward of the end of the race without having the effort to finish the race. Good. That's our culture, isn't it? Give me the trophy, and I don't want to have to do the work to get it. I should just get the trophy because I showed up. I exist. I should get the participation award. Amen. But that's not how this race works. The rewards for finishing the race are only given for those who finish their races. And so to get the reward, to get the achievement, to see the breakthrough, to see the outcome, you will forfeit the outcome if you don't finish the race, if you stop halfway through. We have to commit. And now I can't make you commit. I can't make you a gritty person, a person of resolve, a person of perseverance. It's a decision. This was Paul's decision. It was a desire in his own heart. And that's what I'm hoping over the next few weeks, a desire rises up in your own heart to say, I want to see my life at the end of this thing. I want to see the fruit of finishing my race. Maybe I've even been a quitter up to this point. Maybe I've had a history of being a quitter on things. But I want to make a determination today to get to the end and to finish my race. Amen. We, you know what, in our races, there will be 1,000 reasons to quit. There just are. Tired, the race is long, there's opposition, it took a turn, I didn't know, there was a bend in the road, I tripped. Who knows what the excuse? There's thousands of reasons why to quit, and only a handful of reasons why to not quit. So here's my challenge. Make sure you know those handful of reasons really clearly of why not to quit. See, here's the truth. I don't need 1,000 reasons to stay in the race. I just need a handful of clear reasons to stay in the race. There may be 1,000 reasons to quit. I don't need 1,000 reasons to combat 1,000 reasons. Just give me 3, 4, or 5 reasons that I know very well that I can pull out really quickly and remind myself when any one of those 998 reasons hits me or 1,000 reasons hits me, I will combat those thousands of excuses to quit with my 2, 3, or 4 reasons of why I'm staying in this race. But it must be very clear why you're staying in the race. David didn't need 1,000 stones to take out a giant. He just needed a handful of right ones. Does that make sense? And so I just encourage you today to clarify the reasons of why you're going to stay in this race. Here's one for you, because God called you to complete your race. You know, God's the one that put you in this race, amen? So the devil's not allowed to take you out. Other people are not allowed to take you out. They're complaining, their discouragement, their lack of enthusiasm for your dream, for your call, for your race. You know, that's a great excuse. Say, well, nobody appreciates me running this race. That's an excuse to quit, but I have at least one good reason to stay in, and that's God knows why I'm in this race. And I run for him. I don't run for them. Amen. And so we have thousands of reasons and excuses to quit our journey, to quit the dream, to quit the call of God, whatever that might be, but we're going to lay hold of some grit, and we're going to be finishers. Amen. See, because we're people of grit. It's our culture, and grit don't quit. Don't you love that? Grit, don't quit. And that's who you are. That's our culture. What is grit? Let me define it for you real quickly. There was a lady by the name of Angela Duckworth who did extensive research on the idea of grit. She wrote a book recently and creatively entitled Grit. Her definition of grit was this: sustained passion and perseverance for the long haul. That's what it's going to take to finish your journey. That's what it's going to take to finish your race. Sustained passion and perseverance for the long haul. Too many times in church, too many times in this life, people get excited in the beginning, and it's when the long haul kicks in, the enthusiasm wanes, that they lose their motivation, and they quit before they get to the end, and they never receive the prize, they never accomplish the vision, because they quit halfway or a quarter of the way in. Grit means perseverance for the long haul. We want to be finishers, long haul mentality. I'm not thinking, see, because here's the deal. In the momentary affliction, we can forfeit the long-term gain. So we have to keep our mind long-term to pursue and push through the momentary affliction or opposition that's preventing us or trying to keep us from finishing our race. But we have to be long haul thinkers. Amen. This is uncommon in our culture today. I want to see some people that have been in it a while that can teach us what it means to be long haul. I love it when I see elderly couples that have been married 50, 60 years. They didn't just get into marriage because it felt good in the beginning. They got in the long haul. And you know what? In the long haul, they even love each other more today, 50, 60 years later than they did the day they gave their lives to each other at the altar. Amen. I want to see grandpa still being passionate about grandma. Amen. Chasing her around the house. Amen. You know, he might even say, lady, I can't run as fast, but I got a cane and I'm going to hook it on your ankle. You're not getting away from me. I wish I had this cane when I was 25. I would have expended a lot less energy and we could have had some more. Anyway, let's just move on. But what I'm saying is long haul passion, not just passion in the beginning, but long haul determination and perseverance and passion. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Not short-term gratification, but long-term commitment and being finishers. I love it when I see people who've loved Jesus for 50, 60 years, and they love Jesus more. I hate it when people say, oh, your most passionate, your most productive time with Christ is in your first 6 months to a year of Christianity. I'm telling you something, that's a lie. That's a choice. If you choose to quit your race, if you choose to quit running passionately, that's not your destination, let you want it to be your destination. If you want to be a long-term Christian, if you want to be passionate about Jesus, God is infinitely interesting. He's infinitely amazing and attractive. And the more you know him, the more you want to know him. The more that you see him be good, the more you want to praise him and serve him. You have more to testify and more to fall in love with every year. It gets sweeter as the days go by. It's the long haul mentality. Amen. But yeah, you're going to have to push through some stuff. There's going to be times where God feels far away. There's going to be times where life feels boring. There's going to be times where things aren't going the way that you want them to go. But if you keep pushing through, you're going to see God's faithfulness on the other side. And you're going to be a long-term finisher. Amen. A gritty Christian, but it's you making a decision. It's you deciding, amen, will you be that kind of a believer? Grit has less to do with talent and natural ability and a lot more to do with drive and inner purpose and vision and passion. I kind of like that about grit. You know, there's a lot of people that start the race and they're a whole lot more talented than I ever was. They're a whole lot more talented than a lot of us. They have a lot of natural abilities. But you know, it's not people with natural abilities to finish the race that finish. It's those that finish the race. There's a lot of people that had a whole lot of gifts. They were verbal. They were charismatic. They were attractional by the world standards. You would have thought these people would have changed the world for God, but they ran for about 6 months or a year and somehow got distracted or quit. And then some of us that were a little more dull, a little more boring, but yet we're still in this thing. And over the long haul, we brought more people to Jesus. Are you understanding what I'm saying? We've seen God do some stuff, not because we were the most gifted or the most talented, but because we continue to show up. We continue to run when others quit. We continue to put one more foot in front of the other when we could have took all the excuses everybody else took to get off the race. But we just said, no, I'm not quitting. I'm not even saying I like the fact that I'm walking today, but I'm going to continue to walk because quitting is not an option. Amen. That's grit. So it's not about the talent that you're naturally born with. Now, praise God when talented people become faithful and when talented people go long haul. But I'm encouraging you today that grit is not about being born naturally gritty or being born naturally talented. It's about a commitment in your heart. It's about an attitude in your journey, an attitude in your life. Christianity is a very gritty culture. It's who we are. That's our DNA. You know why? Because our DNA, our culture comes from our king. And our king is a gritty, long haul. He's not a quitter. Amen? He finishes what he starts. That's who we are. That's why this is, I know we're capable of being long haul achievers and finishers, but we have to want to be that. Amen. You know, let's talk about Jesus just for a minute. Open your Bibles, if you would please, to the book of Hebrews chapter 12, talking about the mindset and Jesus's sacrifice. Sometimes we don't put the real skin on this thing. We don't see the reality of this situation. We kind of just read over it like, yeah, Jesus went to the cross and you know, it was difficult, but yeah, it's great. We got saved and he forgave us and that's wonderful. No, let's put reality into this. Let's think about the thousands of opportunities that Jesus could have quit and he could have not finished and the mind games and the things he had to push through. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, talking about the heart and mind, kind of what's going on in our race and with Jesus. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Oh, look, there's confirmation that I'm not lying to you. We're on a race, and it's set before each and every one of us. Amen? And it's going to take endurance. That's the long haul. Now it brings in Jesus as an example. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. For the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. He sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. What's it telling us here? It's telling us, look, you're going to run your race. You need endurance. Let's see how Jesus did it. Let's think how Jesus thought. And what did Jesus do? The Bible says he was able to finish his race because he looked past the immediate pain, past the immediate opposition, and he had his eyes on the finish line. He had his eyes, for the joy set before him, he endured that momentary crisis, tribulation, affliction, thousands of reasons to quit in that moment, because he had you on his mind, because he had the finish line on his mind. And here's the thing, this is a great truth. Sometimes we don't realize that if we don't complete our course, other people are highly affected by us not finishing our races. See, if Jesus wouldn't have finished his race, then our lives would have been left in hell. See, too many times we get so selfish and we're like, I don't want to finish my course. It's not worth the price. I don't care. Nobody cares if I finish my course. Look, these people didn't celebrate Jesus finishing his course. They actually tried to, they killed him on his course. But Jesus knew why he had to finish his course. It was for the joy that was set before him. Those were clear reasons why you need to know you need to finish your course. Because people may not be celebrating you running, but you know if you don't finish your course, it's going to affect your children. It's going to affect your grandkids. It's going to affect your family lineage. It's going to affect the people at your work. It's going to affect a city because you did not finish the dream and the vision of God in your life. If you don't finish your course, remember, if we don't finish our course, we don't get the prize at the other side of that course. You could say, I still want my life to have the same impact, but if you don't finish the race, you forfeit the impact your life would have had. Amen. Are you understanding this? Let's be genuine about Jesus. He had plenty of excuses and reasons to not finish his race, but he kept his eyes on the eternal purpose and the eternal plan. Sometimes when we lose our reasons, our way in our running, and we want to give up, the solution to that is to remind ourselves about the prize on the end to draw us through that difficult season or difficult time. You got to remember the clear why I'm running this race. You know, Jesus had a moment in the garden where he looked at God and he said, Lord, if there's any other way to do something that you want me to do, but not this way, let this cup pass from me. And then he said, but nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. And obviously, he had to finish that course that way. But that's a genuine temptation. Do you understand that? That was a moment where thousands of reasons were screaming in Jesus's ear, saying, it's not worth it. Nobody even cares that you're going to the cross. Nobody even gets the fact that you're really who you say you are. I mean, come on, let's be genuine here. He was under great pressure in that moment. You know, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 26, verse 53, to Peter, he said, do you think I can't ask my Father for help? And he would send me an army of more than 70,000 angels right away. Jesus could have quit his course. Do you understand that? It wasn't that he had no option. It wasn't that once he was set on that course, he couldn't have stopped. See, Peter had taken out a sword and he was fighting and he was cutting people's ears off and all kinds of crazy things. And Jesus says, put your sword away. He says, look, if I wanted to get out of this, I could. I could ask God and he would give me 70,000 angels, swoop me right out of here. But here's the problem. If I leave, you all go to hell. It's powerful, isn't it? I thank God our king is a gritty king. Had 1,000 reasons to quit, but he had a few reasons to stay in it, and you were one of them. One of them was, it was the will of God. That's a good reason to stay in your race. But another reason is you. He didn't want to be without you. He didn't need 1,000 excuses or reasons to stay in. He just needed a handful. And he knew what they were, and it kept him on his course. It kept him being a finisher. It kept him full of grit. Let's talk about Paul, the apostle, just for a minute, not just Jesus. Open your Bibles, if you would, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Are you getting anything out of this so far? Finishers. It's our choice. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. The Apostle Paul, he was put on a course. He had a dream. He had a mission from God on him to bring the gospel of grace to a generation. But finishing that course didn't have a whole lot of celebration. Didn't have a whole lot of friends applauding on the way. It had all kinds of pitfalls and difficult times and trouble along the way. 1,000 reasons to quit along the way. But thank God Paul finished this race. Remember, Paul's the one that wrote the verse we started with, I finished my course. Do you understand me? The guy we're about to read the journey, what did the course look like that he just said he finished? What did the good fight look like that he just testified in 2 Timothy? Let me give you some now examples of what that course looked like that he kept going when he could have quit. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, we'll look at verse 23. We'll jump to verse 23. Paul is defending his legitimacy as an apostle, and he says this: are they servants of Christ? He says, I speak as if I've been saying. He goes, I'm even more so a servant of Christ, because in far more labors, in far more imprisonments. See, because there were people saying, those other guys, they're really spiritual, but Paul, you're not very valuable. You're not very spiritual. And he's like, no. I've been in prison way more than those guys. I've been in way more trouble, and I've worked harder than all of those guys. Let me tell you about my journey. Let me tell you about my race. Far more in prisons, beaten times without number. Now, I can remember a lot of beatings if I was to get them. Does that make sense? Like, if someone were to beat me, I would probably remember a lot. But for Paul to say, I've been beaten so many times, I've lost count. Do you understand what his journey must have looked like? And what was he trying to do? He's trying to get people to heaven. He's trying to get people forgiven of their sins, to be saved by grace, not by works, and remove the oppression of the law and that fear of being having to be perfect all the time away, trying to present to people a salvation which was based on the finished work of Christ rather than them obeying like 600 different laws in the Old Testament. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Paul was trying to do something good, and in trying to do something good, he was getting beaten all the time. He was getting thrown in prison all the time. You ever felt like you were trying to do something good and all hell was against you in the process? Ever felt like, hey, I'm trying to do something good. Why is anyone not celebrating this? And it takes grit to keep going when no one else is celebrating what you know to be the right thing to do. Amen. I've been in danger often of death. 5 times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned, and that doesn't mean marijuana. Some of you are like, with a life like that, I wouldn't blame him if it was. For medicinal purposes. 3 times I was shipwrecked. 1 night and the day I spent in the deep or in the ocean. Think about that just for a minute, would you please? 3 times he's on the way to preach the gospel, and 3 times his boat sinks. Some of us get 1 flat tire and we're out. I was going to my friend's house to pray for him, got a flat tire. Oh, you know, I'm not going to go again. Too much attack in that. Paul's boat sank 3 times. He's floating in the middle of the ocean, 1 night and 1 day. And let me just try to be real here with Paul. Personal opinion, I believe there were times where Paul's like hanging out in the ocean, that there was 1,000 reasons to quit. I mean, let's just be real. Do you think he's floating out there thinking to himself, does anyone even care that I'm out here right now? Does my life even matter? All the sacrifice? All of this, if I was just to drop into the water and die, would what I've done really made any difference or value? Have you ever felt that way before? I mean, I could just imagine Paul out there, maybe on his 3rd shipwreck, hanging out in the water, and all these other guys, it's their first time hanging out in the water. They're all freaking out, and he's like, oh, don't you worry about it. I've been here before. But it's in those moments, man, thousands of reasons to quit, and yet Paul was rescued, went back to land, and went right back to the course that God had for his life. That's our DNA. That's our culture. That's Christianity. And why was Paul like that? Because Jesus is like that. Because that's the DNA of our King. You are not a quitter. If you're a quitter, you're acting out of your real nature that God has given you. Does that make sense? That is not who you really are. You've been partakers of what the Bible calls now the divine nature. You don't have to be a quitter. We choose to quit. The devil can't make you quit. The opposition can't make you quit. The journey can't make you quit. You make you quit. Do you understand that? You can't say, well, because of this, I quit. No, you quit because you chose to quit. Let's be honest. Let's not lie about it. Come on now. I'm not, it's America. You're free to quit, but you just be honest of why you quit. The journey didn't make you quit. The devil didn't make you quit. The tragedies, the hardship didn't make you quit. You quit because you quit. That's it. Amen. Now, not all the apostles in the beginning were success stories of grit, which I appreciate. The Bible says, actually, at the garden, all of them left and abandoned Jesus. Here was their first opportunity to have grit. Jesus was being arrested, and they're like, See you, Jesus. Peter had another opportunity a few hours later where he could have said, yes, I am with Jesus, but three times he denied the Lord till the bird crowed. Does that make sense? So I just want to bless all of us here that our wonderful heroes of faith in the Bible have also been quitters at times in their life. They also failed the Lord at some point in their grittiness, in their long-haul mentality. But I'll show you this. God didn't leave him there. See, because they were filled with the Holy Spirit shortly after that. And the Holy Spirit helped turn cowards into men that were courageous. Do you understand what I'm saying? See, Jesus had told them they would become fishers of men, but when trouble came up, they went back to becoming fishers of fish. Many times that's where we are. Persecution came, tribulation came, and rather than being finishers or willing to push through the opposition, we went back to do the old life. And maybe that's where you are. But I want to encourage you that even our heroes of the apostles, they did the same thing. And so don't allow that momentary quitting to be your final destination. Get back in the race. Finish your course. You can still be a finisher. Don't let this season of quitting become your future. You can make a decision to change today, and God will help change you. See, it wasn't that the disciples just had a change of heart. The Holy Spirit came in them and gave them spiritual boldness. Even Paul, in his pursuit of the gospel message through his life, he talked about laying hold of superhuman strength, which comes from the might of God. See, when you're weak, he is made strong. And so this is not a message telling you just pull yourself up by your own bootstraps and don't be a quitter. It's saying, look, you might have come from a lineage of quitters, but you don't have to be a quitter like that. You might have gone through a season of being a quitter, but don't let the guilt keep you there. God can empower you and desires to help make you into a finisher. He's not just telling you what to do. He's going to help you do it, but you have to set your mind to do it and to lay hold of his strength when you want to quit and be aware when you want to quit, that's not who you're going to be, and to come out of agreement with that and to say, I resist that temptation and I lay hold back to the strength and the might of God to help me finish my course. I'm going to finish this thing by the grace of God. Amen. And so the apostles weren't necessarily finishers to start with, but by the help of the Holy Spirit. So I want to encourage you today, wherever you are, if you've quit some things, if you've not been a finisher in some things, God, the Holy Spirit, can help make you a finisher if you reach out and let him help you run the race again. When do you want to quit? Let's talk about that, because I want you to know what these trigger points are so that you can be aware and you can be ready to resist them when they come, because all of us, we need to know when we're vulnerable to quit, because all of us are vulnerable at different times. You're not really wanting to quit when Brock's playing on the piano and Cherie's like singing and there's just this wonderful atmosphere. We feel great when those things are. We feel like we could go part the water out of the water fountain in the lobby. You know what I'm saying? You feel so spiritual. You feel so holy right now. But there are moments that happen, triggers that happen that make us want to quit. And if I can be aware of those triggers, then I can be sensitive and I can pay attention to those traps and not step into them on my race. So let's talk about some of those triggers. Are you ready? All right, I'll do it for the two of you that are ready, okay? Some of those triggers. What makes you want to quit your dream, your goal, your vision, the race that God has for you? First one is it's after a time where you fail. Everybody wants to quit after you fail. We get embarrassed. We have a sense of shame. And here's the deal. All of us are going to fail at some point. We will. We're going to fail the Lord at some point. We're going to fail with our words. We're going to fail with our thought life. We're going to fail with our actions. There's going to be things that we knew we should have done and we didn't do. There's going to be things we look back on and go, why did I do that? And the devil's going to come in and be the accuser of the brethren because that's the only thing he's good at. Are you understanding what I'm saying? And he's going to try to beat you down and make you feel like you failed. You're already down. Stay down. But you have a decision to make. First of all, understand that all of us still fail and miss the mark at times. Don't put that expectation on yourself that once you start the race, you're going to run it perfectly and you're never going to stumble and you're never going to trip. But my mentor used to say this, quick down, quick up. When you stumble, get up, repent, dust yourself off, and get running. Because if you sit there and let the devil talk to you for a few days, he's going to give you 1,000 reasons to stay down. The faster you repent over a mistake, and the faster you get up and run again, the faster you put it behind you, and there's distance between you and that mistake, and you get some mileage back on this course. When you sit there and mull over it and stew over it, and you let it become a reason for you to stay down, you only need one reason to get back up after you fail, and that is His grace is sufficient. And you get up and you run. All of us are going to fail. All of us are going to find a point where we're weak. And it's in finding that place where we're weak that we find out where we can grow in our strength. You're going to find what your limits are at times. And we're going to repent, and we're going to get up, and we're going to push through it, and that's not going to be our limit next time. We're going to grow past it. Amen. But after you fail, many times is when we are tempted to quit. Another time we're tempted to quit is after a loss of some kind. We lose a job. We lose money. We lose a relationship. We lose in a prayer battle. We're praying for something, and it didn't work out the way we wanted it to. And so that disappointment comes in, and it becomes a reason to quit because we experience some sort of a loss. We just need to be aware we're vulnerable, but you have to make a decision. Am I going to quit because I've experienced a loss, or am I going to push through it? You know what? Every apostle experienced a loss. Jesus experienced different kinds of loss. Everyone in Christianity has experienced some sort of loss. You can't allow the loss to be the reason you don't finish your race. There's still a race to win, even though we were disappointed, even though that didn't work out. But let's talk about the future and stop living in that disappointment. Amen. But it's your choice, but we have to understand that we're all going to experience loss. We've all had curveballs thrown our way, things that we weren't expecting that try to discourage us or disappoint us. Those are reasons people use to quit. There are people that lost something 10 years ago, and they're still staying there. It's what Pastor Derek talked about last week. They haven't turned the page. They're still sitting in that season of loss and despair, and they're using it as an excuse to not finish the race. But here's the deal. They're sitting there, and they'll never get what's on the end of the race because they're it's like they don't realize they're stunted, they're stuck, and they don't realize that it's preventing their life from moving forward. It's preventing all those that would be affected by them finishing their race from moving forward. You have to make a decision. Though I was disappointed, though I didn't understand, and yes, I didn't even like that disappointment, I choose to set those things behind me, and I'm going to get up, and I'm going to run my race again. Amen. And I'm going to be a finisher. I'm going to be a finisher and not let disappointment keep me down. Another reason or another pressure point or thing we need to be sensitive to or aware of why we quit our race is when we experience opposition or resistance. I don't know why we have somehow in our head this idea that when we run our race that we're not going to experience resistance or warfare. And we're shocked when people speak against our race or speak against our choice to serve God or a choice to dream that dream. And they're saying, you can't have that dream. Well, the reason they want to bring you down from your dream is because they're too lazy to go after their own dream. And it's way easier to attack your dream and make you miserable with them than for you to go achieve your dream. Amen. If you want to soar the eagles, you got to stop hanging out with the chickens. Come on, somebody. Come on. But yes, there's going to be haters. Taylor Swift was totally right there. And they're just going to keep hating. They're going to not like that you're running your race. They're not going to like the holiness you choose to live by. They're not going to like the standard you choose to live by. They're not going to like the truth that comes out of your mouth. They're not going to like your accomplishing of great vision. The devil doesn't like it. There's people who are lazy that don't like it. There's people that they don't even know why they're against you, but the devil sends them against you. You're going to experience opposition to the dream, to the race. It's called competing, okay? You're going to have to push through that. That's normal. You're like, why is nobody celebrating my race? Even Paul, nobody was celebrating the gospel that he was bringing to them except those that were receiving it. Amen? And so we can't quit because there's opposition or pressure or trouble or challenge against the race itself. Another time that we want to quit is when the price looks too high. Let me tell you something. There's a price to pay to finish your course. There's effort, there's work, there's sacrifice, And sometimes when people see the sacrifice, there's old friendships you have to stay away from to become the man or woman of God that God's called you to be. There's certain media that, yeah, you have to purge out of your life because it doesn't belong in the mind or in the heart of the man or woman of God. You understand? There's bitterness. You have to pull it out, and you can't sit there and be a bitter person like everyone else loves to sit around in their unforgiveness and in their bitterness. There's cost to being that vision and to finishing that course. And sometimes when people see the cost, it's like the rich young ruler. Jesus told him the cost to be a disciple. He said, I'm not willing to pay the price, and he left. Many times people aren't willing to pay the price to achieve the dream that God has for them, to achieve and finish the course that God has for them, because the price is too high. But let me show you something really quickly. You're going to pay a cost or a price either way. You're going to pay a price to be a finisher. Blood, sweat, tears, faithfulness, sacrifice, commitment, ridicule at times, hard work, diligence. You're going to pay a price to be a finisher. But you're going to pay a price to quit as well. See, the cost of quitting is everything you would have gained by finishing. You're going to pay one way or the other. You're lying to yourself to say, by not paying the price to finish, I'm not paying a price. No, you are paying a price. You're sacrificing the future, preferred future that God has for your life. And you're sacrificing all those connected to you finishing that race. So which one actually costs more? The cost of paying the price to finish or the cost of being a quitter? You're going to pay the price either way. That's powerful, isn't it? Which one costs more? We want to quit when we get scared. We want to quit when there's a delay on the promise or a delay on the vision. Do any of these sound like you, anybody? Do all of them sound like you, anybody? No. Sound like the person next to me, though. Just real quickly, I want to talk to you about being disillusioned for a minute, about having grit and combating this a certain concept, and that's this. The idea that if you're running the race effectively, everything's going to be smooth and the blessing of God's just on your life and it's easy and all that kind of stuff. I was having a conversation with an experienced pastor, mature in years and seasoned in years, and I was just kind of expressing some of my frustration and some certain seasons I was going through and oppositions and different things like that. And he kind of paused and he said, Kevin, he says, do you think that life is supposed to be easy? And I was like, no. Of course not. But the truth is there are times in our lives, I think, and if we're really honest, that though we have the theology, that we know that we have the armor of God and the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, which means that we are going to be in battles. Yes, there's battles and, you know, things like that. We have this expectation that if I'm doing things right for God, then things are supposed to be easy and go easy on my course or on my race. And that's why when things go wrong, we get thrown. And we're like, I don't get it. I'm living for God. I'm going to church. I'm reading my Bible. I'm even tithing. And look at this. This bad thing happened this week. Where's God? Do you understand what I'm saying? Though in our mind we know that life is challenging and there's warfare and there's work to be done, when trouble comes up or comes somehow against us or the race gets blocked or the race gets under attack, it's as if every time it throws us for a crazy loop because we don't wake up expecting life to be that way. If we're living for God, if we're running the race, we're not supposed to get beaten all the time and shipwrecked three times. There's no way my ship's supposed to go down three times. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And so that's why you talk to Christians and it's like they're always wanting to quit all the time because of a battle that they're in. I'm telling you, life's got battles. It's a disillusionment to think that running the race, and if you're running it correctly and running it effectively, that you're absent of battles or work. Here's the deal. Life is warfare or work. When it's not a battle, you're still working the plan, and plans and work are hard work. It takes diligence. It takes effort. Sometimes in our lives, we have this disillusionment that if we're running the race correctly, then there should be no battles. And I'm telling you, life, it's a fallen world that we live in. And there's battles. Life is either a battle or work. So you kind of run your race looking for pitfalls, looking for, yes, that's another battle, to conquer, not to defeat you. See, it depends on your perspective of that battle. If every day you wake up and you see a battle, you're like, oh, another battle. Why can't we just get to a time where there's no battles? When you die, that'll be there. And I'm not trying to be Mr. Gloomy, Doubter, Depressing Guy. I'm just trying to help us have the right long-haul mentality. Jesus said in John chapter 16, 33, these things I've spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world you're going to have tribulation. But take courage. I've overcome the world. Look, it's going to happen. There's going to be battles. There's going to be warfare. And I'm not saying that every day is supposed to stress you out. The Bible tells us that though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm not going to fear any evil. Why? Because I know God is with me. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. So here's the deal. On my journey, it's the valley of the shadow of death. The cool part about that psalm is it never pulls you out of the valley of the shadow of death. You just keep walking in it. Okay? But what it's telling you is in the middle of that valley of the shadow of death, you can have abundance and you can have a mindset where you're partaking of the peace of God and the blessing of God because the table is prepared before you in the presence of your enemies. So if you're waiting for the day that there's an absence of enemies, there's no more attacks, there's no more battle, there's no more opposition before you let yourself be happy or before you let yourself find contentment or to run that race diligently because you're waiting to get all your ducks in a row. Every time I have my ducks in a row, one of my little duckies goes the opposite way. And I'm telling you that there's a small little mindset shift I want to help you with, that life, yes, is battling, warfare, or it's work. And those are okay. That's okay. And that doesn't mean you can't be happy until everything is perfect. So I can go long haul and I can receive rest and I can receive peace even in the middle of the valleys of the shadow. And because I'm on a fallen, look, we forfeited our life of peace when we blew it at the garden. When Adam and Eve blew it at the garden, you're standing. But yeah, eternity's coming. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. But this, when we wake up every day, not being thrown if there's a battle, but if a battle comes, you're like, all right, I'll get through this one too. Not where you fall off the map every time there's work to be done or there's effort to be exerted. You sit there and say, all right, I woke up to go to work today. I'm going to finish my course. I'm not going to let one more curveball take me out of this race. And it's so challenging. I meet Christians all the time that they're thrown so much by such little things. And they quit their race and they don't finish their course. And I'm just saying, don't let those things be reasons to keep you from finishing your race. See, we qualify for the dreams that God has for our lives as we learn through the journey and we struggle towards its realization. We qualify for the dreams and the visions of God for our life as we learn through the journey and struggle for the realization of it. See, mountains are going to come up on the path or the course that you're on. But the mountain is not there to stop you. It's there to make you. See, if you're running your race and all of a sudden there's a mountain of opposition in front of you, again, are you like, what? What meaneth this? I was running my race and this mountain got in my way. It's trying to keep me from finishing my race. My friend, I want you to switch your mind. As you conquer that mountain, you develop strength and skill and grit. That mountain, you thought in the beginning it was there to stop you from finishing. In reality, it's going to make you the finisher. The only reason that mountain stops you is because you chose to stop because of the mountain. The mountain didn't stop you. You stopped you. That mountain is not there to stop you. That mountain is there to make you. Whatever strength you need to exert, whatever consistency and grit you need to grow in, as you walk up the side of that mountain and down the other side, you can look back and actually give that mountain a hug and a kiss and say, mwah, you made me better. You made me stronger. I wouldn't have been who I am today if I wouldn't have gone over that mountain I had to go through. Oh, look, here's another mountain. Yay, me. rather than, oh, I went over that mountain. What? You kidding me? Another mountain? Yeah, and the same way you conquered that one, you conquer that one. And you know what? That one's even going to be easier than the last one because you built strength in the last one. Are you understanding what I'm saying? And then you know what you're doing? You're teaching other people how they can win their race because that's life. There's mountains that get in your way, but you refuse to quit because you've got grit, and grit don't quit. Amen. Four questions and we're done. Things that'll help you determine whether or not you really want to finish your race. Number one, ask yourself this question. Because whatever race or course you're on, you have to be very clear on these four questions. Number one, what do you really want? What do you really want? Do you really want what's on the other side of that mountain? Because if you don't really want it, you'll find 1,000 reasons to not go over there. What do you really want? And why do you want it? Those are those clear reasons, because there's 1,000 reasons to tell you why to quit, but I need 3 or 4 reasons of why I really want what's on the other side of the mountain, why I really want what's at the end of the race. Number three, what is it really, honestly going to take to get there? See, there's work, there's cost. What's it going to take to get over that mountain? What's it going to take to get what I really want? And number four, are you willing to pay that price for it? You have to be able to answer those things to be a finisher. Finisher of any of the courses, any of the races. Let's put some courses in here, some races in here to help bring clarity to that. Like a good marriage. I pray that our church raises good marriages. I pray that our own personal marriage is a good marriage. I really want to have a good marriage. That's one race I want to make sure I'm a finisher in. Do you really want a good marriage? See, you layer these four questions over it. There are people who say they want a good marriage, but do they know why they want a good marriage? Have they ever asked themselves, why I want a good marriage? You can say to yourself, well, because I don't want my kids to grow up in the same environment I grew up in. Or because I don't want to go through 3 or 4 or 5 spouses and end up a bitter, old, lonely person. Or because I don't want to live that painful life at the end. I truly want a good marriage. And because I really want it, I know why I want it, I also find out what it's going to take to have a good marriage. Because you can't just really want it and not do what it takes to have it. See, people say, I want to finish my course, but they don't want to do what it takes to finish that course. So then you study and you find out, what does it take to have a good marriage? It takes humility. It takes forgiveness. It takes personal sacrifice, preferring someone else above yourself. It takes investment. It takes time. Are you understanding what I'm saying? There's people that say, I want a good marriage, and they'll never go to some sort of a marriage conference together. They'll never invest the money in a marriage conference. You know, but they're like, I want a good marriage, but they won't spend any money to invest in their marriage. They'll never read a book on marriage. They'll never get counsel. They're like, I want a good marriage, but they put no effort in having a good marriage. You say, I really want it. Do you? Do you really want it? Because if you really want it, you're going to find out what it takes to get it, and then you answer the final question, are you willing to pay the price to get it? Amen. I want us to be finishers. But it's one thing to say you want something. It's another thing to know what to do to get there. And it's another thing to be willing to pay the price. Spiritual growth is another one. Spiritual growth. People say, I want to be a spiritual giant. Do you really? Do you really want to be a spiritual giant? Why? Well, because God's called my life and I want to give my life to God. And I have a vision that God's put in my heart for him. I don't want to live the life my family lived. I don't want to live the season I came from. God brought me out of so much. Awesome. You know why you want to be a godly man or woman. Awesome. Do you know what it takes to be a godly man or woman? And are you willing to pay the price to be a godly man or woman? I'm not talking about grace. By grace you're saved. Yes, we get that. But you know what? There is a price to pay to grow up in God. The price, like spending time with God. If you're not willing to spend time with God, don't tell me you really want to be mighty in God. If you're not willing to study his word and get into his word and understand his word, then don't say you want to be mighty in God. There's people who tell me all the time what they want to be, but they're not willing to pay the price to be there. I want to be mighty in God, and I show up in church once a quarter. I want to be mighty in God. Do you really? Do you know what it takes to be mighty in God? Will you pay that price to be mighty in God? Amen. I'm not trying to be difficult. I'm just trying to be honest. Because I want you to be a finisher. I want you to be mighty in God. I want to be mighty in God. And I know there's choices I need to make. There's friends I need to say no to. There's things I need to do with my spare time. There's media I need to say no to. There's attitudes I need to say no to. There's sacrifice I need to make. Even what I do with my finances, I believe makes me mightier in God, because I choose to give my money. I choose to tithe. I choose to sow to missions. I choose to not just live for me. And you know what? That doesn't just get missions done. It helps me be an unselfish person. It helps me develop into a mighty man of God. You cannot be a mighty person in God and be selfish. Thank you. I know that's a hard word, and I don't want to deliver it, but I have to sometimes. You understand? Because we're raising up a quality people here. We're raising up a quality group of individuals that are not quitters, they're finishers, but we can't just, too many churches say, I want to be this, but they're not willing to pay the price long haul, have the grit to pay the price and to do it when it gets difficult or it's not fun anymore, but that's what it costs to finish your course and to keep the faith. Amen. Amen. Let's stand. Let me close in a word of prayer. Did you get anything out of that today? Amen. I want to go back to marriage for a second, and I know this is a touchy one, and I'm not trying to condemn anyone that's had a divorce. God can remake you, rebuild you, but here's the truth. In the next marriage, you still got to do some, you got to do these things. But listen, don't say you want a good marriage, husband, wife, if you won't stop looking at pornography. Amen. Listen to me. I want a good marriage, but I'm not willing to let go of that pornography. Then you don't really want a good marriage. Let's just be honest. Because pornography does not belong in your life or in your marriage. It's not blessing you. It's not blessing your spouse. Say, I'm not willing to get rid of that. Well, then just be honest with yourself. You don't really want a good marriage. Don't blame your wife or don't blame your husband. No one made you quit that race. That's a choice you're making. And I just want us to be honest today. This series, we got to get real. We got to get honest. Where are we? Why are we quitting? I can't blame the devil anymore. I can't blame what's happened to me. Every time I think I've had a bad story, someone has a worse story, and that makes me feel bad. But yet they're running. Truth is, it's just my choice. Am I going to finish my course? Am I going to keep the faith? Am I going to have the long haul grit? That's a decision. I can't make you do that. And if you've been a quitter, and we all have, hey, I'm pointing at you. I got three fingers pointing back at me. We've all been quitters at times. But the Holy Spirit can help turn us from a quitter into courageous conquerors. So just ask God to help you. Help you stop quitting. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this church. I thank you for the courses they run. I thank you for the prizes at the end of their race. I pray, God, that you would help us that have been quitting. We repent. We ask for your forgiveness. And God, I pray that you help us to dust ourselves off, get back up, and to run again. Holy Spirit, I ask that you help us to keep going when our human strength runs out. I pray, God, you'd help bring clarity to our three or four reasons why to keep running, though there's 1,000 reasons to quit. Lord, I pray over Life Church that we are finishers. Every mountain makes us stronger. Every battle, every bit of work we put in develops skills, develops maturity. And Lord, we begin to embrace the journey differently. Stop fighting against it and we start running it. Lord, we give you thanks. I bless this church into maturity. I bless this church into growth. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. If you'd like to find out more about Life Church, visit www.lifechurchag.com and engage with us on social media at Life Church AG on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.